Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all so much for being here. I am very excited to see all of you today, and this is a great number of folks, so I'm excited for this class. My call to ministry has not been at all separate from my experience accompanying refugees and immigrants in legal settings. And I found, as time went on, that I yearned to be present with people who were crossing borders and fleeing violence and looking to create a new life for themselves in this country. I found that I yearned to be present with them in a different way, not as a translator who wasn't supposed to cry or wasn't supposed to express any sort of empathy, but as someone who could be present with them in a pastoral or spiritual way. So that's how I come to this topic. I'm calling this series Borders and the Bible just because I like alliteration. But really, it's a chance to explore scripture as well as contemporary texts around issues of migration, issues of refugee rights, issues of how we as people of faith interact with others in our midst who are crossing borders or fleeing oftentimes really, really intense violence and persecution. So that's who I am, why this topic matters to me, why I decided to do a Living Word course focused around that. This is my first time at Holden, and so I'm really happy to be here, and I also am excited for feedback around what works in terms of classes as well. The way that I've structured this, because this is a week-long series, each day will be a different theme and a different contemporary text or texts, and paired with a biblical text or multiple texts. And so if you want to know about, well, I guess I can tell you each day. Today we're talking about refugees and registration, and we'll be looking at the story of Jesus and his parents in his early days as an infant. Briefly, I'll tell you, tomorrow we'll be looking at children and unaccompanied minors, and we'll be looking at the story of Moses as a baby. On Wednesday, we'll look at laws and codes, so ethical and religious commands in the Old Testament around welcoming the stranger and the alien. And on Thursday, we'll look at famine and new family, so forced migration due to economic situation. Look at the story of Ruth and Naomi. And then finally on Friday, we'll talk about faith and bold hospitality. So what does hospitality, radical hospitality, have to do with our practice of faith? And we'll look at Psalms and some of the Hebrew prophets. So that's kind of a rundown. If you have more questions about that, we can talk about it later. But we will get started today with our refugees and registration session. So talking about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We're going to explore a few texts, and we're going to explore them through a practice of Lectio Divina. Some of you may be familiar with Lectio Divina. It's a way of entering into the text to receive the biblical text in a more contemplative and meditative way often, rather than kind of dissecting it for analysis. It's an ancient Christian spiritual practice, and it's originally comes from the Benedictine tradition. There's a few ways to do it, but today we're going to mix it up a little bit, and we're going to start with our contemporary texts, and we're actually going to do a practice of Lectio Divina with a contemporary text. So I have here an excerpt from an article from June of this year, And I think I had the exact right amount, which is thrilling to me, because we're not wasting any paper. So I'm going to pass this out here. First, I will give you a simple direction to attend your listening to this text. Is everybody hearing me okay? I know that I often talk quietly.
Yeah, if you could speak a
little louder. Yes, okay, let me also move my screen.
Crossing the border into fully hearing to not so fully.
Yeah, no, and I'm crossing the border into stepping more into my confidence and speaking louder, so I need help. So please, yeah, just raise your hand if you can't hear me. Or maybe Jonah can turn me up, but maybe that's cheating. Okay. So for our first listening, I will invite you to close your eyes if you want and to listen for one word or phrase that feels like it is saying to you, I am for you today. So really one word or phrase that somehow sticks out to you. Donald Trump needs to try harder if he wants to scare Rafael Castillo. On May 2nd, Rafael finished his work cutting lemons in a field in Apatzingan, Michoacan. He passed by his parents' place, then headed home. That's when he received the call. They have just killed your brothers. Gunmen had shot two of his siblings right in front of his parents, just 10 minutes after Rafael had left them. They buried the bodies that same afternoon. When he went home that night, armed men in SUVs were waiting for him outside his house. A friend of his wife's bought them plane tickets to Tijuana. They arrived the next day. The 44-year-old tells his story, accompanied by his wife and children, in the Juventud 2000 shelter, one of the many in Tijuana that takes in migrants who are planning to cross the border. Some are fleeing the violence in Michoacán, others from gangs in El Salvador, while others simply want to escape their miserable living conditions. Camped in tents in an aluminum roof warehouse, 107 people wait for their turn to cross into San Isidro in San Diego and ask the United States to give them a chance. Whole families live here with dozens of kids, all waiting. It is too soon to tell whether the policy is achieving its intended goal, but Castillo, for one, has not been deterred. We are going to take the risk. We can't go back to Michoacán. We are going to see what happens, he said. If they returned, they would be handing themselves over to the killers, he explains. The families in Juventud 2000 are going to enter the United States the way U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has recommended. They will go to an official entry point, present their case, and ask for asylum. They haven't considered crossing illegally. But even so, immigration lawyers say there is no guarantee that they will be allowed to stay together on the other side, nor that they will be deported together. So I'll invite you to take a couple breaths here and think about that one word or phrase that felt like it was saying to you, I am for you today. If there's a volunteer who would like to read the text aloud, slowly, in a loud voice, we'll do a second listening. Awesome, thank you. So for this listening, you can close your eyes again if you like. If it's helpful for you to follow along, feel free to do that, to read along. And this time, I'll ask you to pay attention to your imagination. Specifically, how do you hear or see Christ in this text? And if you don't come from the Christian tradition, and that doesn't work for you, You can replace that word. Maybe how do you hear or see spirit in this text? How do you hear or see God in this text? That's some guiding questions for this time. So take a moment and then you can start reading.
Donald Trump needs to try harder if he wants to scare Rafael Castillo. On May 2nd, Rafael finished his work cutting lemons in a field in Espadgan. He passed by his parents' place headed home. That's when he received the call. They have just killed your brothers. Gunman had shot two of his siblings right in front of his parents, just 10 minutes after Rafael had left them. They buried the bodies that same afternoon. When he went home that night, armed men in SUVs were waiting for him outside his house. A friend of his wife's bought them plane tickets to Tijuana. They arrived the next day. The 44-year-old tells his story, accompanied by his wife and his children, in the detention center, one of the many in Tijuana that takes in migrants who are waiting to cross the border. Some of them are fleeing the violence, others from gangs in El Salvador, while others simply want to escape their miserable living conditions. Camped in tents in an aluminum roof warehouse, 107 people wait for their turn to cross into San Juanito in San Diego and ask the United States to give them a chance. Whole families live here with dozens of kids, all waiting. It's too soon to tell whether the policy is achieving the intended goal, but Castillo, for one, has not been deterred. We are going to take the risk. We can't go back. We're going to see what happens, he says. If they returned, they would be handing themselves over to the killers, he explains. The families in Juvedad 2000 are going to enter the United States the way U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has recommended. They will go to an official entry point, present their case, and ask for asylum. They haven't considered crossing illegally. But even so, immigration lawyers say there is no guarantee that they will be allowed to stay on the other side, nor that they will be deported together.
So take a couple moments, maybe bring some of those questions back to the front of your mind. How do you hear or see Christ or Spirit in this text? Now we're going to explore a biblical text. So I will read first, so you don't need to worry about looking through your Bibles unless you really want to follow along, but I do encourage you to close your eyes the first time. I'm going to read two texts. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and then I'm going to continue with Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. And so I'll just read through, and we'll do the exact same thing. Well, this first reading, this first listening, you'll be invited to explore the one word or phrase that feels like it is saying to you, I am for you today. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now we move to Matthew. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Great. So in this listening, pay attention to your imagination. Specifically the question, how do you hear or see Christ in this text? So we'll start with Luke 2.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And from Matthew. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, he was afraid to go there. But after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene.
So take a few moments to journal again on the back of your handout if you wish. Responding to the question, how do you hear or see Christ or Spirit in this text? Yeah, it looks like we can do one group of four. And anyway, however it works out. Oh, perfect. Okay. Great. So in your small group, take a moment to share with one another either briefly what this experience of listening to both of these texts was like for you, and or what kind of connections you made, what kind of things happened in your brain or in your heart as you were listening to both of these texts, a contemporary text and a very ancient text. What connections came up for you? So we will take about 5 minutes. Yes, we will take about 5 minutes to talk amongst ourselves about that. I hate to break up your conversations. I know that 5 minutes is definitely not long enough, and that this is really deep material. And can be difficult to wrestle with. It is for me, and it still is for me, even though that story that we read is, I can't tell you how many stories I heard like that from people from that very city, Apatzingan in Michoacan.
Where is that?
That is like in southern Mexico. And it's a particular area that for years, because I worked in immigration law, I stopped in 2016, right? So even before our current administration. And that kind of violence and related to drug cartels and gangs has been going on for several years, like this very heightened. It's deep. So thank you for entering into that and for coming here with like your whole hearts open. I really wish that we had another half hour or two, but it's 10 o'clock right now. I was going to show you a brief video at the end because I don't. The point of this class and of reading and hearing these stories is not to leave without hope. It's not to read this and go, oh my gosh, everything is so horrible, what can I do? I think that is a very normal response, and I imagine that some of you might be feeling that way right now. So I was going to have us ask one more question, share that in a small group, and then close with the video. Jonah, are you still in here? Oh, maybe he's not in here. Okay, well, you know what? Then we're just gonna go over a little bit, if that's okay with you all. And when they kick us out, they kick us out, because I know there is gonna be another class in here, and I know the teacher needs to set up too, so I wanna be respectful of that. I'd like to ask the whole group at this point, where, if anywhere, did you find hope in that listening and in that conversation with one another? And if you're sitting there thinking, Sarah, that's a crazy question, there's no hope anywhere, I'm just really angry, that's fine too. And that anger is also holy and a part of a natural response to these things. So share that too. So if you want to share a few words of hope and a few words or a few words of anger, I invite that right now. And I'll ask you to keep your comments a little bit brief so we can hear from as many people as possible. Yeah.
Immigration law lawyers.
Hope.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm hopeful that as many people are angry as they are, because passivity and lack of response would keep me lacking hope.
Yes.
So I'm hopeful when I hear.
Yeah, anger is hopeful. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
People buying tickets for the family to go to Tijuana.
Right.
And the angel in the second.
Yeah.
Telling them to go.
Mm. Yes.
I think keeping the conversation going, one that we probably haven't had in the past, will open up new channels. So
yes.
There's some hope in that.
Mm.
We have to talk and do and live through.
Yeah, this, you all being here and wanting to talk about this, that gives me hope. Yeah.
Mm. The action taken by the migrants themselves.
Yes. Mm.
Whether it succeeds in the short run or not, people taking responsibility to do something in the situation. Mm.
Thank you for saying that, because I think so often it's easy to think of the people in these stories as victims and victims only. And there is hope in the agency, in the immense faith of people, the immense faith that it takes to show up with your family at one of those checkpoints and ask for asylum, knowing that the most likely outcome is that you will then be separated from your children and put in and detained on the other side of the border. So that's what happens. These are people who are not crossing illegally. They're coming up and then they are then put into detention centers indefinitely while they wait for their hearings and their asylum interviews. So the faith that it takes to make that journey and make that call, I mean, that, thank you for bringing that up.
We talked a lot about risk. And
yes.
I just thought, blessed are the risk takers. Yeah, that's
right. Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah, Jesus was a baby, but Mary and Joseph were big time risk takers. And I think often, hello, are you here to set up for your class? Yes, you may come in. Of course, Steve. You may come in. Sorry, we were having a really great conversation and going over.
Oh, good. Count on me to break it up.
Can we have like 3 or 4 more minutes, or is that not okay? If you need to set up now, that's okay. I gotcha. I shouldn't put you on the spot. Because we are already over. It's already 10:06. Thank you all for being here. I look forward to hopefully continuing this conversation with those of you who are here during the week. So again, tomorrow we're going to talk about Moses and children, and specifically the stories of unaccompanied minors. We've heard a lot of stories about teenagers and young children coming alone from Central America. Had huge increased numbers of that recently. So we're going to look at a couple of texts there. That's what's happening tomorrow. So thank you again, and I'm going to close us in prayer because I think we need to pray. So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving and powerful God, we give you thanks for your Spirit that blows through us and emboldens us to take risks, all kinds of risks. We pray that we might be ever aware of your presence among us and in our lives, giving us strength and courage to cross borders when we don't know what's on the other side. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who himself was born a migrant. Amen.
Amen. Amen.